Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Sorry, I'm a little bit late today. Dressed a little bit differently. I had an interview, actually, interestingly, about Emmy Rossum, her movie Furious. I want to plug that again. It's a great show. It's not a movie, I should say. It's a series. It's on Hulu. And I really recommend you watch it if you like FBI women stories. It's a story about an FBI special agent and her hunt and intersection with a female serial killer. It's done really, really well on every single episode. I consulted with her regarding the script and just different things, and then also prepped her for the role, meeting with her on numerous occasions to shoot, to practice tactics, flew up to New York and helped with one of the fight scenes, which was really fun. So I've had to be hush-hush about it. Obviously, it came out last Monday. So I guess it was that last Monday. The Monday before, not this Monday, but the Monday before last, it premiered. That was the 28th of July. And so I really recommend it. But anyway, I was doing an interview regarding Emmy and her training and so forth. It'll be out on News Nation tomorrow, that show. They have a new segment that I actually didn't even know about. It's called The Scoop. And so if any of you are interested in things like movies and I think just the scoop on things like that, not true crime scoop necessarily, but more lighter. It comes out tomorrow. No, Tuesday. I think they told me Tuesday. Anyway, I'll give you guys an update as I know. But anyway, apologies for being a bit late. Working hard also on the show to get it together for you. I saw something up at the top, and it talked about what I had new, the new information. Of course, that was on yesterday's episode, which I hope you watch. It's new information that nobody has. Essentially, what we were able to do, Mr. Vargas was amazing, but essentially, we were able to get the entire, let me remove this. I don't know why I can't get this down, but we were able to get the entire blockchain transactions from all the money that went into the account that the kidnapper sent. We were able to expose everything that happened there, the account that was set up by the FBI privately, how they received two transactions in and then paid 0.0022 Bitcoin into the abductor's account. And then further, we saw the notations of communications that were attempted by Savannah Guthrie and the Guthries. You see it right here. This was huge because in the blockchain information, we could see that you can actually discuss and communicate in blockchain. And we also found out that for a certainty, there was no money put in terms of any ransom being paid. So there was a lot of confusion about that because Savannah Guthrie put out, we did our part. We also played that video yesterday of her saying that. And indeed, perhaps this is what she meant by we did our part in terms of reaching out. This request was never answered, but for sure, they tried to communicate via blockchain. And I will say also that I found this interesting. You know, we had wondered if there was a door open for communication, and there clearly was. It's just like having an email, you can communicate, and the abductors never talked back on it. So very interesting to me that that all happened. So I wanted to say for those asking what was new that nobody else had, that's what it is the full blockchain rundown, exactly what happened in terms of the money. All right. Today, I want to discuss Chris Nanos's 6-month message. So we did not, unfortunately, we were not able to go over what he had to say. And so here we go. This is it. We're going to go through it step by step because I think it's really important. This was his 6-month message and we've never gone through this. Okay.
What's your message to the Guthrie family?
We're still here. We are not going away.
This is odd. Something is going on where I can't get this message removed, so I'm just going to take it out of my studio. Oh, wow. It still doesn't remove. That's crazy. Let me see if I can get...
just see the two.
Here we go.
The energy.
So let me start and stop from the beginning. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through it by segment so you can hear one segment. And before we go to this next segment, we'll have that that up. So we'll do what he says in a segment and then we'll stop and talk about it and do the other. All right. I am looking forward to breaking this down because it's very, very interesting. Here we go.
August 1st marks 6 months since Nancy Guthrie was taken from her home. Where does the investigation stand right now?
It's very active. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. We've done a lot of work, but we still have more. And there's not just in DNA, where labs across the country are working together, but in forensics analysis of thousands and thousands of videos, photos. And we also have still tens of thousands of tips that come in.
Sorry?
So it's a very active investigation.
Okay. So essentially he is saying, and this actually I very much agree with, it's an active investigation for the reasons we've always said, right? This is what the FBI has to work with. They're still going through all of the video, meaning that literally the FBI offices and their what we call analysts are actually going through all of that footage. Not really the agents. I believe that the analysts would be tasked with doing all of this. Further, of course, there's more DNA outside of the hair. For those who don't know, the hair came back a big zero. So very unfortunate there that the hair ended up being a big zero. Sorry. Third, they have tips that are still coming in and tips they haven't gotten to. Now this task force is down to, as per his other statements, really just a handful of Pima County Sheriff's Office and a handful of FBI agents. So you're not talking a huge task force anymore. There is a larger Safe Streets task force, probably about 24 to 30 members, but they have their own cases and they have a lot going on. So it's really been pared down, which makes it difficult to get through everything. But believe me, they are sorting through those. All right, here we go. So basically the first little part, he's just saying it's active. Here we go.
The department released 2 ransom notes. Why now?
Well, really, 2 reasons. One, it's out there. People have been, media has covered some of this. And we just saw what was being said and felt like we need to put something out that's really accurate. This was the time. Investigators felt like there's a number of pieces of information in these notes that... It just might jar someone to say, I've heard that, or the wording, the style of the writing is, might jog somebody to kind of think about who would have written this, how was this done. I think anybody who reads them, my investigators, we look at it, and clearly there's things in there that are very concerning to our investigative team. So we hope that by releasing the actual note, we'll get some response from the community.
Okay. So again, the question asked was, why did they send the notes out? And we've discussed this at length. He says that one, the notes were already out there, which I think is the number one reason that they were released, that the actual note was released. I think that's the number one reason. Look, it was already out there. And so for that reason, there was no reason to withhold. And then secondarily, he tells you right there, there were items within the notes that they think would be important that somebody could recognize. I've talked a lot about this. I know everybody doesn't believe that these notes were AI assisted. In other words, at least partially AI. That's my stance. I'm still behind the scenes, have a lot of research that's being done on them. And then I'm looking very, very hopeful that at the end of the day, we're going to have some conclusion. But truly, until the person is caught who created those notes and ask the question, we are just not going to know, because only he knows, and I think it is a he, whether that note, if he used AI to assist. I still believe this is somebody that English was at the second language, and then also that they were AI assisted. And I've gone over that extensively. I know there's people who disagree with me, but there's linguists and others who agree with me. So anyway, I will be having somebody on, and I'm really looking forward to that, to sort of go through what their opinion is, even if it doesn't match up with mine, but somebody I very much respect. And we'll see. But to be clear, I believe those notes, AI was provided assistance in putting together those notes. I just do not believe that the notes are completely just put together without AI assistance. Again, from the way the dates are described in this repetitive, odd manner, the different verbiage that's used, buried with nature, perished. The grammar is very odd, but I will tell you, and you can do it yourself, if you prompt AI to create paragraphs, they make mistakes. And specifically with a word like receive, R-E-C-E-I-V-E-D, that is one of the words that AI can mess up on, because again, it hasn't been taught I before E except after C. Having said that, we'll see. You know, we'll see if AI was, we'll see if AI contributed. But the only way we're really going to know is if that person is caught and tells us, because I've run it through a lot of AI detection programs, and I still have another one that somebody is working on, but so far they've been inconclusive. They're basically saying part is AI and part is not AI. And that's what I believe too. I don't think the whole thing is AI and they sent it out. I think they added their own verbiage into it. And, you know, I think it's part. So we're going to go on, but anyway, that's basically what he's saying. So no matter what, even if it's AI assisted, it tells us that there was a certain way they say things, a certain way they wanted that constructed. And, you know, again, they had final approval. And just because AI spits something out, it doesn't mean you can't change things. I found it very interesting that US dollars, one time it had a dollar sign and one time it didn't have a dollar sign. Why is that? If you query about AI, normally it doesn't use a dollar sign. So I was wondering if the AI didn't use the dollar sign and then later that person caught that and put the dollar sign back in. So it's all very interesting. The only reason I think it has some importance is because it's how much examination can we do of the sentence where people are actually looking for something in terms of clues of how a person talks, if it is in part AI, you know, contributed to by AI. As I said, I still think it is important, these notes, and I still think they have clues. Like, as an example, just the fact that it says, "Hello, Savannah," you know, hello. That's odd that you would say hello. It really is, especially with a ransom note, which basically saying, I'm going to kill your mom if you don't do this, and you come off with hello. It's so familiar, everyone. It's so personal. So anyway, I find that very, very interesting. Okay, we're going to go on to the next question.
Did the Guthrie family know you'd be ransomed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
6 months in.
Okay. The question was, did the Guthrie family know they'd be releasing the note? This is my opinion on this. There is nothing that is done by the FBI or Pima County Sheriff that the Guthries don't know about, that Savannah doesn't know about. That is all run through Savannah. So anytime you see a statement made, I guarantee you. And this is something you see sometimes with the respect for the family that has lost their family member, that they want to keep them apprised of things that are going out. I have never seen it quite to the degree in this case. I have personal knowledge about that. And I find it very interesting that every step that seems to be taken is sort of on eggshells, not wanting to upset the family. And we've seen some notifications put out by Sheriff Nanos, where he clearly does not want to upset the family. I don't know whether it's about, and I think it is about, I don't know for sure, about his reelection, that sort of thing, concern that he won't be reelected if, you know, Savannah, we know, is politically connected. We know that from one of the first people she contacted before she ever made it to the state. So we know there were some serious political connections, and I wonder if he's concerned about that, if that's his reason. And then I can tell you, just as an FBI agent, we really want to make sure those family victims are well respected and communicated with. Now, like I said, I've never seen anything like this. So this is very unique to me to see it to this degree. But you heard him answer it like that. Did the Guthrie family know? Yes, yes, they knew. So very interesting there.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, I'm going to go back just a little bit.
A response from the community.
Did the Guthrie family know you'd be ready?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
6 months in, what's your relationship with the FBI?
It's a good relationship. It's always been a good relationship. You know, we've been a member of the what is known as the Southern Arizona Violent Crime Task Force, headed up by the FBI, for decades. We've always participated, and to this day we still do. It's not just a great relationship. It's one that's very valued.
What's your message?
Okay. We're going to go through this again. Now, you might want to ask, okay, let me make sure.
What's your relationship with the FBI?
Known as the Southern Arizona Violent Crime.
Shoot. Let me get it right
the actual
there.
Note. We'll get some response from the community.
Did the Guthrie family know you'd be released?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Watch when he answers something truthfully. It's very interesting. Like, for instance, did the Guthrie family know? Right in your face with his eyes, quick response, absolutely emphatic responses, but watch his eyes. Okay, now watch this.
6 months in, What's your relationship with the FBI?
It's a good reason.
You see? Watch. This is something we study a lot as FBI agents because we have to try to learn how to detect deception. And there are certain things that people do when they are being deceptive over and over and over again. So I don't want to just take this out, but this is a deceptive answer. Let's continue to listen.
Relationship. It's always been a good relationship.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to get that.
To our investigative team. So we hope that by releasing the actual note, we'll get some response from the community.
Did the Guthrie family know you'd be releasing?
Absolutely.
6 months in, what's your relationship with the FBI?
It's a good relationship. It's always been a good relationship.
Oh, did you see the eyes down twice? So it's a good relationship. It's always been a good relationship. Let me put this up now.
Am I upset at the FBI? Absolutely. They should. They get by with saying no comment. Who does that in today's world? Who does that?
Okay. He hasn't always had a good relationship with the FBI. It's different when somebody looks down and they're thinking, or they look up and they're thinking, their eyes kind of go like this. What I'm talking about are these deceptive movements right before they speak for a quick second. And that's what he does. So it's my opinion. I'll always say when it's opinion versus fact, it's fact that he looks down quickly before he answers questions that twice we know are not accurate. They're deceptive. And we see the eye movement go down. And that was, how is your relationship? Oh, it's a good relationship. It's always been a good relationship. So I'm not talking about when somebody you're interviewing or even Nanos kind of looks, and that's when they're trying to form their thought together. That's a big difference than that quick movement that is involuntary before deception. So is it a big thing? Is it a not? I mean, all of us should realize that relationship is not good.
You know, we've been a member of the what is known as the Southern Arizona Violent Crime Task Force, headed up by the FBI, for decades. We've always participated, and to this day we still do.
So do you see the long sort of thinking what he's going to say versus that quick darting of the eyes?
Great relationship. It's one that's very valued.
What's your message to the community?
Oh, wait a minute. I needed to look at that before the very valued. Sorry.
For decades, we've always participated.
That's all true.
And to this day, we still do.
Thinking.
It's not just a great relationship. It's one that's very.
And do you see that? He's just, it's so hard for him. It's not just, you know, just like a great relationship. That is absolutely a deceptive, typically deceptive, when you're not really buying what you're selling.
Valued.
What's your message to the community?
We think somebody knows something. We hope that by releasing some of this information, it will jog somebody to think about.
Again, I want you to look at the difference when he looks over to his left and down and he's thinking. Big difference between this. It's a good relationship. Okay, let's go ahead.
A lot of people have called this with information, but we also know a lot of people are hesitant to do so. And so I hope that by constantly reminding the public, we're here, we're not going anywhere. If you have information, someone.
See how his eye contact is when he's saying something he really believes in, something he really believes in. This is an example of that. He is, you know, I totally believe this part that he's saying.
Knows who this person is. Someone knows something. We want that person to call us. We need that phone call.
Why haven't you held a press conference about this case?
Okay, so again, basically, he just went through the fact, let me break that down just a little bit more, not about the FBI, but the other piece.
Hesitant to do so. And so I hope that by constantly reminding the public, we're here, we're not going anywhere. If you have information, someone knows who this person is. Someone knows something. We want that person to call us. We need that phone call.
So that's something he really believes, and that's something we all should believe. This case, in my opinion, is going to be solved by an epiphany. Somebody who makes that phone call and says, that's my uncle, and it is, porch guy. Or a piece of DNA that we don't even know about right now that's being analyzed that ends up going back to the perpetrator. Or that vehicle that the FBI analysts throughout the United States are sitting there going through, and it's brutal going through it, and are hoping for that tag that they can identify or the vehicle that can be identified, and then sending that up to Quantico for further evaluation to see if they can narrow down a vehicle, just like what happened in the Koberger case. It's going to be this huge epiphany. That's, I think, what's going to hopefully solve this case. Here we go.
Why haven't you held a press conference about this case?
And to be clear, this isn't an interview with a reporter, right? This is strictly, this is set up, and, you know, this is set up, and he is going through what he wants out there. So here we go.
Well, the press conferences are actually more designed for when you have a very specific piece of information that you want out in front and you need help with. We do that. In this regard, we felt like just a media release was sufficient.
Okay. So there you go. He's explaining because he's really under the gun. When we saw the Idaho case, and again, that went on for 5 weeks, not for 6 months, but we saw local law enforcement, and then they later hired, they got $1 million grant and hired somebody to talk for the local law enforcement because things were getting muddied up. In that case, I actually loved Chief Fry. I really did. I felt he was real. He got the FBI involved that night. He had 60 agents on board. He was going full force with them because he realized he didn't have any ego. He realized we need the FBI's help and we need it right now. I want to point this out, and this is really critical. It's something that I keep forgetting to point out that Sheriff Nanoff says over and over again. He says over and over, we have had the FBI involved from day one. Let me tell, and then he says why, sort of, if you listen to some interviews. He is equating this to the fact that he has a task force officer, I believe it's a female, on the task force at the FBI, the Violent Crimes Task Force, and that he told her, or he or they, whatever, she was told about the case. And so that is what he is using as the loophole into we told the FBI. I've evaluated this, listened to this, and that's what he's hanging his hat on. This is the reason Kash Patel keeps pushing back. Kash Patel is trying to say, no, we have to be fully invited in, opened up a case before we can use our resources. And that didn't happen till day four. And then day four, it happened. So I just want to bring that up, that Nanoff isn't 1,000% lying. He's definitely not being communicating forthright. But what he is very much doing is covering himself by saying the FBI knew because my task force officer knew and she's part of the FBI. So that is why he pushes against that the FBI wasn't contacted. But in my book, that does not count. Just your task force officer knowing about the case doesn't mean calling up the FBI and saying, listen, we need your help. We need your evidence response team. We need your resources. We need your help with digital analysis. We need help with the camera. Remember, day four, just think how much critical information was lost, possibly from her camera system that was barely gained anyway. So I just want you to understand why you might be wondering, why does he keep saying the FBI was involved on day one? That's why.
What's your message to the Guthrie family?
We're still here. We are not going away. If you could just see the team working, you would see the energy, the concern. They're fired up, and we'll continue to work this case hard.
Is there anything that I...
Okay, so he wants to make that clear. Guthrie family, don't lose, you know, any faith in us because we're still going hard. And I believe for the most part, he believed in that. There was one part that he had that quick glance down into his right again. And that kind of bothered me. Let me show you it.
What's your message to the Guthrie family?
We're still here. We are not going away. If you could just see the team working, you would see the energy, the concern.
Right there was a little bit weird. So I take away from this that pretty much he's being honest and forthright, but there's something that might have concerned him in terms of their energy.
They're fired up, and we'll continue to work this case hard.
Is there anything that I forgot to ask or that you want to add?
You know, there is a number of issues have been brought up about people being cleared of this investigation. We served a few search warrants. We talked to individuals, and we move on because if the evidence is there, we continue that path. But that doesn't mean those individuals are cleared. It just means that we met with them because we felt like there was a need. There was probable cause established through evidence, tips, whatever, and presented to a court. And we went on. Does that mean those individuals are cleared? Not necessarily. It just means that we took a look at something that was concerning to us, and now the evidence takes us elsewhere. But more to that point, I can't be more clear. I said this earlier on, and I say it again. The Guthrie family is not and have not been suspects in this investigation. We have talked with them, worked with them. They are not suspects. They are victims. Victims of a very horrific crime.
If someone does have information that may help investigators, where should they call?
Either tip line, 1-800-CALL-FBI or 520-351-4900 is the Sheriff's Department tip line. You can even call 911. We just need you to call.
Okay. Very important.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretsky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Because I have seen this, and it's really frustrating. I've seen it in mainstream media, of course, all over social media, especially those channels that have an agenda, using what he said about people being cleared. Now, I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I keep wondering if he isn't referring to that second arrest, Mr. Daly, when he says this. I got to be honest, I'm wondering about that. He seemed to want to put that out there, and it was almost like, hey, I'm putting this out there because it might come up later. I found that very, very interesting. But what the media is doing is stopping it right there and saying, see, nobody's cleared, nobody's cleared, without listening to his last points. The family's clear. They're not suspects. They're victims. I can't reiterate this enough, blah, blah, blah. Everything he again pounds home about the families being cleared, but nobody's taking that. The media, and mostly definitely social media and a lot of mainstream media, which I'm really disappointed to see, is saying, see, nobody's cleared. They didn't listen all the way through and they cut it at that point. Now you might be saying, because I know a lot of people say, Jen, you're always sticking up for the family. You're not even looking at that Tommaso Nanni. Guys, I've done, 160 episodes on this case. Please look back at my Tommaso episodes, my Annie episodes, the deep dive on them, on their associates, on the possible reasoning, on where the crap is, where it came from. I even did one on where each thing, whether it was Tommaso gambling or whether it was a debt that was owed or whether it was about a loan or whether it was about the power of attorney. I deep dived each of those and got to where the origination point was. And it is nothing reliable. This is not new. This is exactly what happened in the Idaho case. I was literally out on an island with that case. Everybody's like, it's Jack. No, it's that Jack. Oh my gosh, it's Bethany. No, it's Dylan. It's the evil Dylan. Some people early on were saying it was the family. You guys, meaning different families, right? They were blaming Xana's family. They, at one point, were, of all crazy things, were naming the Gonsalves family, which was crazy. Because some things they found in his background. I'll stick out on my island. I'm out on my island. And I'm going to continue to say the family isn't involved. It makes not one scintilla of sense for Annie and Tommaso, who had full-on access to her, who could have easily killed her so many different ways that wouldn't involve hiring somebody to go up on the porch, doing ransom notes, setting up a Bitcoin account. All of this stuff they would not have to do. And they could have gotten away with it, easily gotten away with it if they wanted to kill her. Nobody probably would have even done an autopsy. But that isn't what happened. And if you see this Bitcoin account I pointed out yesterday, this note that was in there, in the blockchain, again, reiterating that the FBI has said crystal clear, this is a kidnap for ransom. I don't know why that's not going up there. They haven't said this was a burglary gone bad. This is a home invasion. This is part of a jewelry scandal. They haven't said this was a murder and a cover-up. No, no, no. They spelled it out for everybody right here. It's what I've said from months ago in February as information came forward. Question is who? Something more organized? We've talked all about that, like a wrench attack. Something more like what happened to Vi Ripken? That's what it's seeming like more and more. Something more organic. Let me read this. And thank you, Ether Bunny. Sounds like I'm lifting. Okay. Do you think it would help to have billboards and others around town? I'm here in CNN. Listen, I'm billboard queen here. I've talked about this from the beginning. I contacted the billboard companies. I reached out through a connection to the FBI, SAC. I did everything in my power to get all those billboards with Nancy's face off, or maybe small in the corner, and with Porch Guy's face huge, along with the billboards in both English and Spanish. I even said, and Surviving the Survivor and I talked about doing a special show where all the money we raised in that show, we would put up billboards. But you can't do it, and this is why I reached out to the FBI, you can't do it without the FBI's approval. I mean, we could, but it's much smarter after I talked to the VP of the billboard company. These are electronic billboards. There's like 25 up all over the country in the Spanish-speaking areas, by the way, right? Houston, California, Southern California. I think there's one outside of Houston or of Tucson. They focused on that. And again, that was at the beginning of the investigation. I can give you no reason why they put the kibosh on it. And that will, to me, be one of the biggest head scratchers of this case. It just will. It absolutely makes no sense. There's nothing that makes sense about not having Porch Guy up there. We all know what Nancy looks like. Nobody is looking for Nancy. I know Elizabeth Smart, and I tell you what, I think I shared with you all, you know, I had the honor and privilege to have dinner with her, to watch her speak, to have some personal time and conversation with her. And I could tell you, she's still in a lot of pain, in my opinion. But beyond that, I think it's upsetting to her that no one will consider that Nancy's alive. But remember, no one considered that she was alive. Elizabeth Smart. I know Elizabeth was healthy. Elizabeth was 14. Nancy Guthrie's 84. I get that. Still, she was 14 years old, not savvy, not worldly. No one that could possibly know how to get out of a situation like that. When you look at Nancy, Nancy was sharp as a tack. She had her wits. She had her experiences. All of that. And all Elizabeth's point is just don't give up hope, have some scintilla of hope. So I do. I always have a little bit of hope in all these situations, just a teeny bit. It doesn't make sense logically to me, but you do never know. And Elizabeth, when I was talking to her, she even said, listen, there are situations, this is what she told me, where people survived way longer than she survived. Way more than 9 months. That people never thought would make it. At the end of the day, no, she doesn't want to give up hope. And I think it's upsetting to her. And that's why she's been willing to come on and share her hope. Everybody gave up on her. And she doesn't want everybody giving up on Nancy. We don't know. We don't know. Let's see. Oh, I need to put this up on the screen, everyone. Please watch out for this account. They have like 600,000 hits on their last tweet. They are literally, and this is disgusting to me, they are and normally I don't, you know, do this, but I have to do it on this situation. They are regurgitating information from back in February and pretending like it's new. So in other words, they just arrested somebody in Rio Rico. Now, if you're just looking at this or you're not familiar with the case, you're like, oh my gosh, they have a suspect in Rio Rico. They don't say who it is or anything like that, right? Because they're taking clips. And in the first one, it was CNN. And then one they did recently, TMZ. And because TMZ had so many, and they literally are, you know, talk about what Savannah's message was, that words to this effect, that if anybody is out there using this case just to make money, basically you're no better than her abductors. I mean, you could tell Savannah is ticked. And I've thought a lot about that. Like, if it were my mom or my husband or whatever, would I be ticked? I posted this on Twitter because it didn't make any sense to me that Kathy Lee Gifford wanted to come out and be interviewed. I think NBC had contacted her in another show about commenting on the Nancy Guthrie case. And she says Gifford says, I was contacted by somebody in the family. Well, it has to be Savannah. She's the only one that would have that ability to make the contact, right? I mean, it's pretty easy. Annie's not going to call her Tommaso. It was Savannah. That's what I believe. And said, don't come on. The family doesn't want you to go on. So she's not. But that is more confusing to me because I would want, can you imagine all the people with missing people like Sebastian Rogers? Can you imagine all the people that would love Kathy Lee Gifford, Savannah Guthrie, Elizabeth Smart, anyone and everyone to follow their case and to get it out there in hopes of having somebody see something and the case gets solved? You know? Just imagine. So I don't understand the two things that will always baffle me until it's answered. Why the FBI and Savannah do not support billboards with porch guy up. I won't understand that. So unless the only answer that makes any sense is if they know who is responsible. And so they don't want all these tips coming in because it would create a ton of tips. They don't want that because they already know. And then again, on their pleas, it doesn't make any sense to me why you would not want people like Kathy Lee Gifford or whoever to come up. So anyway, everyone, that's the show. What I really wanted to talk about was the 6-month message by Nanos and really evaluate it and give you all a couple of thoughts, my opinion on tools that can be used to evaluate when he might not be as truthful and as honest as he is at other times, you know? And then secondarily, I obviously wanted to put up this scammer. And then I also wanted to make sure everybody knew that yesterday's episode, Information That Is No Place Else, Nanos accidentally released the Bitcoin account. And when he did that, many sleuths caught it. They screenshotted it before. And so it's out there. I took the opportunity to have the chain, blockchain they call it, looked at because I wanted to know and did a show on it. Did they pay the ransom? Because Savannah Guthrie alluded to that. Do you remember? She said, we did our part. We did our part. So I was like, gosh, did they pay it? And TMZ and everybody's keeping their mouth shut, but they didn't pay it. Nothing went in there. And the little 0.0022 Bitcoin, which is about $150 in today's market, is still sitting there. Nothing was done. And they wrote messages, or a message, I should say, to the abductor. And it was never answered by the abductor. So there's that. Let's see. I saw something up here I wanted to quickly comment on. Oh, thank you. This is so kind. And thank you, Ether Bunny. I really appreciate the donation. We did have a winner yesterday. Karen, I believe it was M-A-A-G. I'm going totally from memory, but I remember it was M-A-A. I think the last letter was G, who won. So I'll be getting, she contacted me and I'll be getting her FBI, which is going to just be some things I personally collected from the FBI in the past. Oh, that Bitcoin address is real. Hill Days, let me explain how I know. It came directly from the email. So literally, I have the email from that Nanos put out. And then at the bottom, the Bitcoin address is on actually both emails, just so you know. And they're really not emails. They went to the tip line at these places. So, which I've always said, they've got to look at a connection with somebody in media to know about these tip lines and that they're not traced. If you, if nothing else I've said in 160 plus episodes on Nancy Guthrie sticks, let that one stick, because I think that there is going to be some connection to someone in the media that knew about these tip lines. So Jackie, in answer to your question, yeah, they could have contacted her. They could contact her through the Bitcoin account because the Bitcoin account is still set up. In other words, the FBI set up a private account and it's still set up. They put two transactions in there and then they sent the or two money deposits and then they sent one immediately after this all happened on the 10th. And it is 100% accurate because it's straight from the notes, that Bitcoin. And it lines up with everything. Somebody opened the facade account, somebody did the transfers, they did it for that dollar amount, which we had heard was done. It still sits in the abductor's account today, remember? And we know for a fact now, and I showed this, both emails had the exact same Bitcoin address on it, even though the second email is an apology and didn't ask for anything. Oh my gosh, it's has this, so we know they're from the same people. So and I'm sure the same IP address. And I only say that because that is what Howard Bloom said. He said he had a source that told him that. So we know they're the same. Same people, legitimate. Again, if you haven't seen yesterday's episode and you follow this case and you care about facts and you want to understand what happened, please go take a look yesterday because we go through it all. Also, quickly wanted to touch on this. And this is something that really bothered me. And I'm not going to say who. Actually, two people. But somebody who I've known very well in the media and actually really like, they made another stab that it could be the family. And it wasn't Ashley Banfield. And basically referencing and keeping off the back end where he says it's not the family, right? Referencing the, you know, just because we did a search warrant and everything doesn't mean they're off the radar. And that has me really interesting. Interested. And then another situation is another podcaster that I'm finding so disappointing. And I know it's for clicks. I know it's to get that group of people that are conspiracy theorists basically talking about, again, pointing the finger at Tommaso. It's just really disappointing without a scintilla effect. And I promise you, I will be another thing I think you can take to the bank. One thing is that there's going to be some media connection for them to know that tip line couldn't be traced. And the other thing is, there will be lawsuits when this is over for everybody who blame Tommaso and Annie. I am sure there's a huge list, but there's a couple of key people. And, you know, I think it could happen. And I'm particularly referring to the people that keep coming at them. So, all right, everyone, you guys are fantastic. Thank you to the mods. You all are always fantastic. May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all those who are missing. Thank you for joining us here.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.